Sairam all. I would like to sing my favorite bhajan before I start off speaking about my experience with you all. Swami, take my hand. Jesus, take my hand. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way. I'll never forget you, you'll always be with me. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way. Your guide and protector, mother and father. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way. Teach me loving service, peace and contentment. Dear Lord, take my hand and lead the way. On behalf of all of us, I offer our humble pranams at the lotus feet of our dear Lord, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Sai Ram to all the listeners. My parents, my father, Dr. Chandar, and my mother, Srimati Ratna, were informed by their friends that a magician is coming, an astrologer is coming, a spiritual teacher is coming to one of their friends' house, common friend's house. So would you like to come? So my father and mother both were anxious to meet this person. Mm-hmm. They went to Mrs. Purnaya's house.
Nagamani Purnaya's house
mm-hmm. in Bangalore. They were just amazed to see a little young person sitting, a 22-year-old sitting there, and everybody else sitting on the floor and prostrating to him. And he was talking about high level of spirituality and materializing vibhuti and all these things. So at the end of this session, Swami asked my parents and the others sitting in the room to come to Puttaparthi for Dasara celebrations. Mm-hmm. As it was close to the Dasara celebrations that mm-hmm. my parents had gone to their house. Mm-hmm. So they all agreed to come to Puttaparthi. But they didn't know where Puttaparthi was, and they didn't know how to get there. Mm. So, but they all agreed. Swami didn't ask them, do you know where it is or anything like that. So they all agreed, and they left for their individual homes. So journey to Puttaparthi was not a simple affair back in those days. We had to catch a train from Bangalore to Penagonda. The train used to usually take off around 9:30 at night. And it used to stop in Penagonda around midnight. And you had to spend the night in Penagonda.
In the railway station.
In the railway station. And then next day morning, you catch a bus from Penagonda to Bukkapatnam. And the bus was around 7 o'clock in the morning. So by the time you got to Bukkapatnam, it was 9 o'clock.
Oh.
And you had to catch another bullock cart. So from the bus station, Bukkapatnam, to the nearest crossing point in the Chitravati River. The nearest crossing point, the narrowest crossing point was back then where the present ghat is there.
Hmm.
They built a new ghat.
Yes, yes.
The ghat is there. And the water was very high. Hmm. You know, it was waist high hmm. for a 5'5" person.
Hmm.
And there was no way we could cross the river because we were only 3 feet or 4 feet high.
Hmm.
So we used to sit on our father's shoulder.
Oh my God, really?
Yes. And father used to carry the bags.
Hmm.
And mother used to carry the bags.
Hmm.
And we crossed the river completely wet, waist, up to waist.
Oh my God.
Waist high.
Hmm.
And when you cross the river on the other side of the banks, Chitravati,
hmm.
Swami was standing there.
Hmm.
Eager to receive us.
Wow.
And he was so happy and so thrilled. Mm-hmm. And so were we. All our tiredness disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it took all night journey to come
yes.
to Puttaparthi.
Almost like some 16 hours of journey.
Right.
12 to 16 hours of journey.
So he helped us carry our bags.
Mm.
And sometimes he used to carry us also.
Swami?
Yes.
Wow. Mm.
And came to the old ashram. Old building.
The Pathamandir.
Pathamandir.
Old Mandir.
Mm. Yeah. The Pathamandir was maybe 15 feet by 20 feet in dimension.
Mm.
And the kitchen was about 10 feet by 10 feet.
Mm.
No. Not like any kitchen these modern days.
Mm-hmm.
So all the friends joined together and all the males used to cook their dinner and lunch and breakfast for all the devotees who came during the festival.
Mm.
And all the ladies used to sing the bhajans. Mm-hmm. And Swami used to watch us, watch all the children. Mm. Some of these visits were very... I personally can't remember all of them, but this is what my parents have told us, and this is what happened. And during some of these visits also, we used to go to Chitravati River bank, sit on the sands, and sing bhajans, and he used to materialize laddu.
From the sand.
From the sand, you know. And my favorite was rava laddu.
Okay.
So he used to give us rava laddu. He used to give us other laddu, also motichur laddu, all kinds of things. And he used to all of a sudden run up to the Kalparuksha.
Yes, the wish fulfilling.
And of course, we were young, we could go behind him, but not now. And these were all the playthings that we enjoyed his company, and he enjoyed our company too. Our first interaction with Swami Bhagavan was, personally, this is... Now I know what happened to me and my brother. In February 7th, 1964, there was Mr. Kasturi and Swami had arranged the mass upanayanam in Prashantinilayam for about 50 to 60 boys. So we all came a week before. And my father had arranged a bus, tourist bus, and we were about 40 people in that bus. And we all came for the upanayanam, and it was just before Shivaratri also.
So you and your brother were supposed to have...
No, we had not registered ourselves.
Oh, okay, for the third
ceremony. Yeah, we were not amongst the 40.
So you just came to be...
We just came to be a witness.
Witness the program.
Right.
Okay.
So my father was given the opportunity to be of... seva to this program.
Okay, so he came as a volunteer.
Yeah. So he came, and we also came with him, along with our full family. So we were, all the boys were standing in line, and Swami was distributing the dhoti, and the panchapatra, and uddharane, and all the materials needed for next day's upanayanam. So we were not in the line. So suddenly Swami turned around and looked at my father and said, how come your children are not there? So my father was thinking he was smart. He said, I didn't check the horoscope. Swami turned around and replied, Bhagavan himself is doing the ceremony, and he has the stars and the grahas in his hands. Why do you need to check the horoscope?
Swami said that.
So, I remember this very well because, you know, we were able to catch it back then. At then.
Oh, you remember hearing these words from Bhagwan?
Yes. And anyway, Swami asked us to join. We joined. And along with us, my two uncles also joined.
Oh.
So, all four of us had the Brahmapadesham from Bhagwan.
Wow, beautiful.
So, that summer he came... to our house. Swami used to come to Vrindavan in summer. So he came to our house, and there was a program, a public function in Bangalore. Swami attended the public function in Bangalore. And then all of a sudden he turned around and came to our house.
Oh, you did not invite Swami?
No. We didn't know that he was coming, and I didn't know. None of us knew. Okay. My father and mother were in the public function.
and Swami came
to our house.
Okay.
So we had just finished dinner and we were sitting down and chatting. My grandmother was
home. Like a normal day?
Like a normal night.
Oh, okay.
So, Swami came and he knocked on the door. We opened the door. We welcomed him.
Oh, my
God. And then we took him to the puja room.
So, what was your reaction like? You know, suddenly Swami knocks on the door and he comes. So
we didn't know what to do, really. Then he himself said, let's go to the puja room. We went to the puja room. Then I did Mangalarti to him. And then finally, he said one word. He said, your Brahmapadesham is now sanctified.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
The upanayanam, the thread ceremony that was done,
is now sanctified.
Wow.
So we were so happy. Then after Swami left, my parents came.
Oh my God.
So my father was upset. Then next day he fought with Bhagwan. He said, how can you do this? I'm not here. You came home. Anyway, This is how Bhagavan used to play with all of us.
Wow. Mm.
And it was one of those wonderful days that we had.
Mm.
Like this, he has come before also, afterwards also. In 1966, there was a public function in Malleshwaram, Bangalore. And after that, he had told my father that he will come.
So this time he had informed.
He had told my father. Okay. Because my father went and brought him from Whitefield.
Okay.
And then he was going to drop him back also.
Okay.
So Swami came for the public function. The speech, Swami's speech was over. Bhajan was over. There were about maybe 8,000-10,000 people.
Okay.
It was a big field.
Mm.
And Swami said, let's go to your home for lunch.
Okay.
So what he did was he went and parked the car in Shanky Tank Road.
Mm-hmm.
He parked the car there and started chatting.
Uh-huh.
So 8 o'clock over, 9 o'clock over, Bhagwan. 10 o'clock over,
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami is not coming home.
Mm-hmm.
My father also was with him.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, he came around 11 o'clock
in the night. Oh my God!
then he gave the reason. He said, mm-hmm. you had invited too many people for dinner,
uh-huh.
so I didn't want to come because too many people are there.
Oh!
And along with him came 100 people.
Okay.
Swami's entourage is always big.
Mm. Mm.
So 100 people came and then my mother said, we have very little food left.
Mm.
Swami said, don't worry. He went to the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
materialized vibhuti, sprinkled it all over the food.
Oh.
And we were able to feed another 200 people afterwards.
Wow.
So this is how he plays around with you.
Mm.
And at that time, I don't know if any one of us knew that he is really God. We thought he's just another Swamiji.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the God sense came only later on.
Mm. But he loved being with him.
Yeah, we loved being with him because it was fun.
Mm.
You know, every function my parents used to come. Mm. And since we were in school, we were not able to come all the functions.
Mm.
For Dasara, for Shivratri, for Swami's birthday, Guru Purnima, they were here all the functions.
Mm.
So during one of the Swami's birthday programs, there were only a few people who arranged all the arrangements. One of them was my dad. The flower arrangements, the jula arrangements,
mm-hmm.
and the food arrangements, mm-hmm. and other things.
In those days, all the Prashanti festivals happened because people from Chennai, people from Bangalore came and, you know,
volunteered
and, yeah,
right.
they did the
right.
lot of the home.
I don't think work. There was Central Trust then.
Yeah, Central Trust formally came only in 72.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. So, I think it was 1967, we came for Swami's birthday program. Morning darshan was over, speech was over, the prasadam was distributed, and it was a Sunday. So, next day was a working day. So, we came in one of my father's friend's car, and my father's friend had to go back for next day's work. So, my father and my father's friend decided that they want to go back to Bangalore around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening. Swami told them very nicely. He said, don't go today. Watch the jula. Participate in the bhajans. Then go tomorrow morning.
Every evening on birthdays, you have the jula function.
Right.
The one on the swing.
Yes.
Swami want them to witness that.
Right. So, but, you know, as usual, we had access to go to his room and tell him that we are leaving now.
Okay.
So that's when he said this.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but they decided to leave anyway.
Father wanted to leave.
Father and his friend.
Mm.
So they had to leave. So they left in their car, my father's friend's car, and it took them all night to go to Bangalore.
Oh my God.
On the way, my father had some colic pain because of the kidney stones and all those things, but it disappeared by the time they reached Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an uneventful journey for them, which normally takes about 5 hours in the car during those days.
Mm.
It took them all night.
Mm-hmm.
So they reached next day morning only, they reached Bangalore.
So they had a lot of problems as they went to there.
So these things, you know, Swami has said this, even a blade of grass doesn't move without his permission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't want you to come, he will give you all sorts of excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be smart enough to pick it up.
Yeah. And sometimes when he's actually telling you what to do, you have to just follow it to the T.
Right. But you won't even know at that time that he's telling you what to do also.
Because nothing is a casual comment.
Correct.
Mm.
Yeah. The same story Mm-hmm. My dad wanted to visit us in US. Mm-hmm. This was in 82.
Okay.
1982 when my son was born.
Okay.
My mother was already with us in US.
Okay.
So I was telling my father, come. Mm-hmm. And he was hesitant. Then he said, I'll ask Swami. If Swami says go, then I'll come. Mm-hmm. But we had already sent the tickets and he was already packed. And for 1 week, he went to Vrindavan every day.
Okay.
To get Swami's permission. Swami used to talk to him, everything. When this subject came up, mm-hmm. he used to avoid him and go away.
Oh.
So it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the day of the departure, my father caught his leg and said, I have to leave today.
Hmm.
Swami didn't say anything.
Oh.
He just let him do the Pad Namaskar. And Swami left. Hmm. And my father left, took the evening flight.
Oh.
And came to Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to lift his bag, the suitcase. It was so heavy.
Uh-huh.
He, you know, broke his back and fell down.
Oh my God.
He never made the trip to US.
Mm-hmm.
See, these are signs Swami gives you, you know, not to do.
Mm.
But we really don't understand those things properly.
Mm. It was not good for him to...
It was not good for him to travel.
Travel.
So later on, in 92, Swami kept asking my father, when are you going?
Okay.
When are you going? When are you going? Yeah, I had no plans to bring him. But he kept taunting him.
Mm.
Finally, he called me and said, Swami is saying this.
Hmm.
Then we sent him the ticket, then he came.
Yeah.
So things we have to...
Absolute implicit obedience
right.
is so important. You know, we in our limited mind should not try to judge.
Right. We should not make our own things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rejections.
You should, if you have an open mind, you will definitely understand what he's trying to say.
Yes.
In 1968... I joined Manipal for my dental college to finish my dentistry course.
Mm-hmm. You always wanted to become a doctor?
Well, didn't have a choice then, you know.
Okay.
We are two brothers.
Okay.
So my dad said, one of you become a doctor, one of you become a dentist.
Okay.
So I was a rebellion. So I decided to go out of the house.
Okay.
So I opted to go to dentistry.
Okay.
Because that year, dentistry was the choice.
Okay.
Next year was medical.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go to medicine, dental college. And with Swami's blessings, I went there.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed there for 1.5 years.
Okay.
And life in Manipal was not very pleasant in those days.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of problems in the small town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I got frustrated and I didn't go to classes many times.
Oh, okay.
So I lost my attendance. So I was not allowed to take the exam.
Uh-huh.
So I dropped out after 1.5 years.
Oh.
After 2 years.
You dropped out?
Dropped out. Mm. Then I wanted to come home. I came home. Then I was afraid to face my father.
Mm-hmm.
Because my father also has a very bad short temper. So I didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very nice. He was very calm.
Oh.
Then I told him I want to go to Puttaparthi.
Mm.
So he said, go. He gave me 20 rupees in my hand and he said, go.
That's enough money in those
days. That's
enough,
plenty of money. So I came to Puttaparthi, stayed there for about 10, 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, the Prashant Nilayam was undergoing the temple architecture construction.
Okay, little enhancements to the
Prashanti Mandir. Where there were square pillars, they put all the vigrahas and those things.
Okay. Mm.
So I was fortunate enough to volunteer to haul sand from Chitravati River to Mandir.
Wow. Mm.
So I did this for 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami said, this guy is going to break down, so I better send him back. So finally he gave an interview and there were 12 Tibetans with me in the group. He materialized a visiting card, Swami's visiting card. And he gave everybody one card. And he ignored me in the interview room. Finally, I told him that this is what is happening. I don't want to go to college. I want to quit. And then he said, no, you go back to school, go back to college, finish. And he materialized a ring and put it on my finger and says, I'll take care of you.
I'll take care of you.
Mm. So that
but
was
you finished
very,
your studies.
So that was very, you know, nice of him to do that.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I finished my dental.
So you continued.
I continued, finished my dentistry, mm-hmm. and I joined my father in his private practice mm-hmm. in Bangalore, and worked with him for another 3 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was a real battle at home.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, because his way of treatment and my way of treatment were never the same.
Okay.
With the patients.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd better move.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way I could move was to go to U.S.
Okay.
So I started applying for visa to U.S.
But why only U.S.?
That was the only country that was open back then.
Mm-hmm.
You had an open-end visa.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus all my friends had already gone.
Mm-hmm.
Few of my classmates had already gone to U.S. So I started applying but got rejected every time. And six times, every time you apply, it costs about 3,000-4,000 rupees back then.
Oh.
So, but anyway, I got disappointed. So my mother and I decided that we should go and consult a Nadi astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in Bangalore who's supposed to be very good. So as soon as I went to see him, he predicted who I was. And they read that Nadi.
This palm leaf inscription.
Palm leaf thing. And he said, what I do? And he said, you come here to ask me this question, whether you're going to go to abroad or not.
So he said all that?
He said all those things.
Okay. So.
And then he told me that you will not go.
Oh, my God.
So I was really disappointed, and probably I was going to beat him up too, given a chance.
He is so mad at him that he's putting cold water on all your dreams.
Then finally we came home, then I told my mother, let's go to Puttaparthi. So, took my father's permission, of course, because mother has to take care of the home also in Bangalore.
Mm.
So, anyway, my grandmother was there, so I said, okay, go. So, we stayed here for Puttaparthi for about a week. And finally, Swami gave us an interview, and I told him that I want to go to U.S. He kept insisting that, you know, you cannot go, because he knows what the astrologer said.
Mm.
He says, you know you cannot go, you know you cannot go. But as a spoiled child, you know, I just kept pulling his shirt, pulling his gown, pulling his leg, you know, everything. Then finally he agreed.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you get married, then I will send you to U.S.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So
like Swami said that. I mean,
yes.
So it almost seemed like it was not destined for you to,
right,
to go to the U.S. But you were so insistent. So he looked like he sort of... Out of his mercy...
Compassion.
He was willing to change your destiny.
Right. Mm. He can change your future. You know,
yes.
And you know, everything is in his hands.
Only because you were so clear about
yes.
it.
Yes. Because you're so... I was so insistent, you know, that I had to go.
Mm.
Then finally he agreed. And then we got married. To cut the story short, I came home from Puttaparthi. There, one of my father's friends, family friends, was in our house.
Mm-hmm.
So we told what happened, and Swami told.
Mm-hmm.
So this friend all of a sudden jumped up and said, I have a very nice alliance for you in Shimoga.
Oh, okay.
So the following week we went there and settled the whole matter and got married.
So you got married because you want to go to the U.S.
Yes.
Because Swami told.
Correct. That's the most important, because Swami said.
Yeah. Swami said, I will send you to the U.S. only if we get married. Yeah. So that happened. And so you did go to the U.S.
Yes. We were there to get a dental license in U.S. is not a very easy affair. You have to go through a lot of exams, they torture you, basically, because you're an outsider to begin with.
Mm.
And dentistry was a closed field for white Americans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in those days?
In those days.
77?
70, 78, 79. Mm. You know, those days.
Mm.
So they used to look at through the microscope. If you had to do any procedure, they'd look at through the microscope and say, this is not right, that is not right.
Okay.
But anyway, to cut short, it took me 5 years to get the license.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I did 2 post-graduations.
In the U.S.?
In Temple University, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And opened my own practice in 1983 in a small village in upstate New York, near Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Syracuse is university town.
Okay.
So that's where we settled down.
So there's a lot of struggle getting your own license.
People, when I told people, my relatives in India, that I'm going to US to do this, they laughed at me. They said, you're crazy, because none of them have gotten dentistry license. There were a couple of them who went before, but didn't make it. They came back. So it was not easy.
But I think, I mean, finally even...
But it is all because of Bhagwan. There is no question about it. And without his hand over your head, nothing happens. And we were fortunate that we were involved in the Sai mission, and we were his devotees, that he took care of us.
Fortunate that we had the opportunity to come to him at that age. And, you know, he rewrote...
Our history.
Our history, yes, yes. So it became easy after you started your own clinic?
Oh, once I started my practice, it was a piece of cake.
Okay.
I still used to come to Swami for birthday and Guru Purnima and everything.
Mm-hmm.
In 1987, we built our own office building, about 5,000 square feet. And we had fortunate that Swami gave permission to have the Sai Center in the office building.
So you started a Sai Center there?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would have made you really very happy.
Yes, it was. It was really nice. I think the people also were very cooperative enough to come together, because they used to have bhajans 1 week in your house, 1 week in their house, 1 week in their house. We were kind of like roaming nomads. But now we have a central place. We don't have to carry the photo and everything to everybody's house. So we had it set in one place. We had it for 28 years.
The Sai Center?
The Sai Center.
Wow.
And once I moved to India in 2015, we sold the building. Then it moved to one of my friend's office building. So it is right now there in my friend's office building.
Wow.
He's also a dentist.
Oh.
And we are good friends.
Beautiful. He became the center of your life.
Right.
And taking full charge of your career, your life and everything.
Correct.
And you have in some way to do something for his mission, you know.
After my parents met Swami for the first time in 48, they started a bhajana mandali in Malleshwaram.
Parents started in
Bangalore. In our house. So we used to have regular bhajans on Thursdays and Mondays.
In your house?
In our house. For 1 hour, we used to have in the evening, we used to have regular bhajans. And even G.P. Rajaratnam was our study circle coordinator in... you heard of G.P. Rajaratnam, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Kasturi's counterpart.
Yes, yes.
He was a service... He was our study circle coordinator.
He used to come and speak to the students... in the Vrindavan College, in the early formative years of the Vrindavan College. That's how I heard his
name. The summer course.
Summer courses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to always have Sai Center in...
so you had seen already in India, your home already had a Sai Center.
Correct.
You wanted to replicate that in the US now.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was something that I wanted to do. And it's fortunate that your family got along with the same boat. If the wife is in a different boat, the children are in a different boat, then it is very difficult to accomplish all these things. I was really fortunate that my wife went along with me for everything that you know I wanted to do for... I shouldn't say I wanted to do for Bhagwan, but Bhagwan did it for us. So it all got things together. And the kids were small enough that they didn't have any choice to oppose.
So the whole family, it was a Sai family.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got everybody together. And we got the... We had about 40, 50 families come for the bhajans. We were about 100 people every time we had bhajans.
Very nice.
Every Sunday.
So more and more you got directly involved in Bhagwan's work with time. I think once you have the Sai Center there, and slowly the organization also in the US started
growing.
Growing, right. So you were part of the Satya Sai movement.
Correct.
In the US.
In the Bhakti movement.
Yeah.
Now we wanted to get into the service mode. See, Bhakti is like kindergarten. And not that it is bad, But the service is like, you know, we are going to first grade or second grade, something like that. So that's how I classify it as. So we wanted to serve the society. You know, when I sang the bhajan, Swami, take my hand.
Yes.
But your hand has to be clean for Swami to hold your hand.
True.
So how do you cleanse your hand? By serving the society. So we got into that mode. We got together in Syracuse, in our Sai Center. We made sandwiches every Sunday and distributed it to the homeless people. And we distributed blankets as a group, all of us. And, you know, cold, it is very cold in Syracuse. We get 160 inches of snow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And when it's very cold, people are still living in the streets.
Oh, my God.
We were fortunate enough to be a part of some of the activities, service activities in Uttaparthi and Swami's organization. Swami set up the social care, educare, and Medicare, these three wings of service organizations. It is for us devotees to decide where you are going to fit and do the service. Some may be an educationist, some may be a social worker, some may be a doctor or a dentist or a nurse, anything. So we all can fit into these pockets. And we had an opportunity for the first time in 1991 when the super hospital was built in Puttaparthi to play a small role in that whole mission.
That would have been a very heartening moment, right?
It was.
Swami building a big hospital.
It was such a huge structure. It's almost 1 kilometer from one end to the other end. And we had interactions with Jogarao and other people, Srinivasan back then. And they used to describe us how this whole planning was done and how it came up. So it is something miraculous. It's a legend that Swami has left behind for us to cherish it, support it, and keep it growing. You know, the structure is there, the infrastructure is there.
Yes,
it's for us to play a role in it. In 1994, when we came, Swami was very gracious enough to give us an interview with my sister and brother-in-law and their family and our family. And I asked his permission to donate a dental chair to the dental department, because that time the chair was not good. And I don't know if anybody knows, you know Dr. Shiva Reddy?
Yeah.
Shiva, he lives in South Block. He used to do dentistry first in the beginning with the Godrej chair. My father and he both were together whenever they came for program. In the hospital, the general hospital was open, which has two rooms in the general hospital back then. So I thought we'll have a nice one, and I asked Swami's permission. Swami said, okay, do it.
A full-fledged dental chair.
A full-fledged dental chair, American style. So Swami said, okay. Then I went back to US. I ordered from the dealer and the manufacturer that I want specifically 220 volts power. Not 110 volts. In US, it's 110 volts, it's 220. They all said, no problem. So paid for it, got it you know, ready to be shipped. It was all crated in the box still. So Swami didn't give permission for 2-3 years. He said, wait, wait, wait. My father used to come and ask him every time. He said, wait, 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 wait. One fine day, Swami said, tell him to use it in the fourth room.
In
US. I had built 4 rooms for the surgery, and one room was not equipped with any equipment yet.
Okay.
Because I wanted to do it slowly.
Okay.
So he said, Swami said, tell him to use it in the fourth room.
Oh.
Swami never knew what my floor plan was in the building.
Physically.
No, he didn't. I mean, of course, he knew otherwise, but I had not shown him anything. Finally, I opened the crate and to my surprise, I saw everything was 110 volts.
Oh, 110 volts.
Mm.
So it was not meant for India.
It was not meant for India. So that's the reason Swami stopped it. So anyway, we used it in the US. And in 1999, when the new hospital in Whitefield was announced, we wanted to be a part of it too. So my brother-in-law and myself, we were fortunate. Swami gave us an interview and talked to him about it. And then he said, okay, you can do it. So we became a part of that also.
Mm. So there was always looking for opportunity.
Yes. Yeah. I learned this from a good friend of mine, Ramesh Vadwani. He's always looking for opportunity. He's always behind somebody or the other in the organization here or Swami, saying that, can I do something for you? Can I do something for you? So I learned this from him. We were together always. So this is how we teamed up together.
Wow.
So we were able to do it.
And if you're all the time looking for opportunities, and if their intent is pure, then Swami gives you those chances.
Everybody gets that opportunity, but it's for you to grab it.
True.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And ultimately the joy is yours.
Right. Yes.
Even now you serve in the General Hospital. Right. And you have always been associated with the General Hospital.
Yeah. In 2006, by that time the General Hospital was already overcrowded. They ran out of space. They had beds in the...
In the corridor.
On the corridor.
Yeah.
And so I went to Swami. I showed him some pictures. And I drew up a plan for expansion of the General Hospital. And Swami, in 2006, I showed him all these things. Then Swami said, okay, I agreed, you can do it. So we were so happy, we were ready to go. And Swami was ready to, after we left, Swami was ready to even put the foundation stone there. But for some reason, it got delayed. And the process didn't start until 2013.
Even after Bhagwan left.
Bhagwan left on 2011. And to 2013, Mr. V. Srinivasan from Chennai, who was a trustee, came to New York. So I went and explained to Mr. V. Srinivasan that this is what had happened in 2006. And we would like to pursue this matter and give us an opportunity to be of service. V. Srinivasan was very nice. He said, you're coming for birthday, you let us talk there. Ruputparthi. I came here, discussed with him, Mr. Chakravarti and everybody, and they agreed we'll start the process. So construction started in 2013.
So God's delays are not his denials. No. He always wanted to be of service to the General Hospital, see the hospital grow. And, Swami in his own time did it.
He also wants to see how persistent you are.
You are.
So it's a question of how you feel about doing it.
Yeah. How important that is to you. That is to you, yes.
Right. Yeah. So we added about 45,000 square feet, which is very nice. And we have a full-fledged hospital. And our patient load increased from 900 in the old hospital, old building, to the 1600 to the new building.
Now, yeah, of course. Now the General Hospital is very spacious.
Right.
Amazing.
Year 2000, one of the interviews I asked Bhagwan, the dental clinic is closed, so I would like to get volunteers to come and work in the clinic. Then he asked me a detailed plan what I'm going to do. Then he suggested, let every dentist who comes from overseas serve for 1 month. So I told Bhagwan, coming for 1 month is a little difficult because you have to shut down everything for a month and it costs money to pay the employees there plus expenses here also. We'll do it for 2 weeks at a time. He agreed. And Swami blessed the project. And I had collected about 20 names and emails who were coming to Puttaparthi and on and off and doing services in the dental clinic. So when I went back to US, I sent them a note saying that we have permission from Swami to follow this pattern. I would like you to pick 2 weeks of your own choice and send it to me so we can schedule you for volunteering your services. So the whole 52 weeks was filled.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, up until the corona, the COVID problems, every slot was filled for the whole year.
Wow.
And we included the dentists from India also, which was very nice. And they also participated in the whole program.
Wow.
So it was all because, his blessings was there. It happened. It's not because of me. Because he agreed and he blessed it.
So many people got the opportunity to serve.
Right.
And the hospital always had the best of best doctors coming from all over.
Correct.
The world. Mm-hmm. And seeing the patients here. Wow.
We are thinking of opening up the program again.
Mm.
Hopefully the Indian Dental Council licensure protocols also have changed a little bit because of the COVID. So we're hoping to see what their new change is going to be and then open up the doors again.
Mm. Mm. And even as this happened, Swami continued to take care of your family, continued
yes.
to guide you,
it never,
guide your
it
children.
Never, it never stopped. It
yeah.
never stopped,
mm.
you know. In 2018, I went for my son's wedding in Los Angeles. We were gone for about 2 months. So I don't like to go away for 2 months because it is too much of a taxing. And we got so used to being here.
Mm.
You know, if I go, I want to go for a couple of days and come back.
Mm.
So I went for the wedding because it was a wedding we had to stay. And the day before the wedding, I had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So I passed out in the room, in the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately the ambulance came, took me to the emergency room, and they treated me, and they said, fortunately, there is no damage to your heart. Everything looks fine. They did some tests and all, and we would like to do more investigation, like a catheterization and things like that. We don't do it. You have to go to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, listen, my son is getting married tomorrow. So instead of going to Los Angeles and getting it done, I'm going back to Puttaparthi in a week.
Mm.
I'll get it done there. So they said, it's up to you. We will not release you unless you sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I signed and we got released. Went back, performed my son's wedding, then went back to my daughter's place in Washington and left for Puttaparthi. That night, I went back from emergency room. I had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
I usually don't get Swami dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was really very vivid.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami looked at it and spoke, and he said, you come back to my hospital and take care of it.
I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Show it in my hospital. He's mm-hmm. very specific.
Come back to my hospital. Mm,
come back to my hospital and we'll get it checked.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to Los Angeles and get the test done and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So we came back here. We landed in Bangalore. Mm-hmm. And I told this to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know? My brother said, after you go back to Puttaparthi, you come back to Bangalore, we'll get it checked in Whitefield Hospital.
Mm.
Then I said, no, I'll get it checked in Puttaparthi only. Then he said, no, you come here. He was the director then.
Yes.
So you come here, I'll do it. We'll get it checked here.
Mm.
So anyway, we were on the way near that Ganesh Circle.
Mm.
We had the AC going in the car. We closed all the doors, windows and everything. There was a big gust of wind.
Oh.
From somewhere, I don't know where it came. Windows are all closed.
Mm-hmm.
This wind hit my chest.
Uh-huh.
And all the pain disappeared.
Oh, wow.
No?
Wow.
So we rested for a couple of days in Puttaparthi, then went to Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
And then cardiologist checked us out and she said, there is nothing wrong. Your results, your values are the same as what it was 3 years ago.
Oh.
So,
wow.
We were saved with that.
But the air cleaned you.
Really? I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. So many times I've gone out for more than 2 weeks or 3 weeks out of Puttaparthi. There's a lot of aches and pains.
Mm.
But when I come back, it is all gone.
Yeah, just the whole
atmosphere.
Power of the place.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The presence that is there.
Mm-hmm.
His presence that is suffused.
Correct.
In every speck of this place.
So he has given me 3 lives already.
Oh my God.
18 years ago, I had 2 stents put in. And so this is another thing.
So I
better shape up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Bhagwan listens to your prayers. And one incident comes when Bhagwan materialized a necklace for my daughters on her wedding. During the interview he granted us in 2006. And he instructed us specifically not to show it to anybody. And he put this necklace in an envelope, gave it to my wife's hand and told her, on the wedding day, you take out the necklace from the envelope and give it to the boy and let the boy tie it around your daughter's neck and just chant Gayatri three times. So we finished the interview when we were walking back to the room, and my wife gets an idea that she wants to show it to my mother and her mother. And in the process, there was an argument. Of course, as usual, I don't win any arguments. So she showed it to my mother when we reached the apartment. And she saw three green stones were missing.
Oh, my God. Once you opened and showed it to the parent.
So three green stones were missing. So the necklace is made from green stones and pearls, you know, two rows thing. So she got upset and she yelled at me and said, take it back to Swami next day and give it to him and tell him to give us another one. So I told her it is not possible because we did not listen to him and we broke the rule. So we just have to live with it. Anyway, she went to Shimoga and I stayed back for 3 days in Puttaparthi. I didn't discuss this with Swami at all, and he didn't ask me at all. So she showed it to her mother. The same thing, three stones are still missing. Don't know where it went. And we went back to US. She showed it to her. I told her, show it to your daughter also. She's the one who's going to wear it. So at that time, before that, she put a vibhuti packet in the envelope, and she was praying every day and crying. So by Swami's miracle, all the three stones appeared back on the necklace.
Before the wedding?
Before the wedding.
Wow.
And they were all fixed nicely.
Wow. So they just mysteriously appeared again.
Yes. And you have to have faith, though. And your prayers should be strong.
She repented.
Yeah. And if your prayers are good and strong and really from the heart, I think anything, you can move the mountains.
Beautiful.
So in the same, all of us have to learn a lesson from this, not just the miracle part of it, but the faith part of it and the prayers part of it.
Yes.
And Swami has taught us a lot of lessons. Another lesson is how to be patient, how to control your anger, what you can do. One of my experience was there was a lot of unrest in my mind when I left the U.S. to come to Puttaparthi. And Swami was very gracious as always. He gave me an interview.
So when was this?
This was in 2002. So I was sitting in front of him and I asked him this question. Then before I finished the question, he said, yes, I know, but you have to control your anger and be patient. And he has given many ways in his discourses how to control your anger, how to be patient. And one way of controlling your anger is to pause before you give a reply to anybody who's in front of you. Just pause for a minute or half a minute and then you'll get the correct answer. Then you'll not be angry. And another way is, Swami has said, is drink a glass of cold water or look at your face in the mirror. The minute you see your horrible face when you get angry in the mirror, you'll stop getting angry. So these are the things as devotees we should learn and make it a habit for ourselves. So after Swami's lesson in the interview room, I went back to US. Then my son had come from his college holidays. He put his bag on the floor and he wanted to take my car and go see his friend before having dinner. So I explained to him, dinner is ready, have dinner and then go. But he was bent upon going and seeing his friends first. So invariably, what I would have done normally was, I would have blown up my top, gotten very angry, and shouted at him, and had an argument with him. But this time, I was very cool and quiet. I told him, just have dinner and go. He didn't listen, but he went anyway. He went to the car, started it, and changed his mind, came back, have dinner, and then went out. Then before he went out, he says, "Dad, are you all right?" So I asked him, "Why?" He says, "You didn't get angry." I told him that Bhagavan Swami had told me this, so I'm trying to practice this. Even today, I try to practice it, but sometimes I mess up. But it is a learning process. I think every day is a learning process, and we all should try. As Swami devotees, we practice these little hints that Swami has given us over a period of time, like controlling your anger, having faith, and praying, group singing, bhajans, and all these things. It's just to make us a better person in life. And making us a better person in life will make us get closer to Bhagavan and enjoy His love and with His proximity. And we can do His seva.
Yes, and fill our lives with joy.
Fill our lives with joy.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah. Very beautiful. I thank Bhagavan for giving me this opportunity to share my experience with all you listeners and Sai devotees. Thanks, Swami, for His love that He has given us, and spread the same love to all others in the society. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, sir.